ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ
ਅੱਲਾਹ ਅਕਬਰ ਅੱਲਾਹ ਅਕਬਰ ਅੱਲਾਹ ਅਕਬਰ أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله رب العالمين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
A favor, and a great favor for that matter, of Allah the Almighty, which has linked the Ahmadiyya Muslim community together as one, is a continuing institution of Khilafat after the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The last 106 years of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community testify to the fact that after the demise of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, as he wrote in the booklet Al-Wasiyat, The Will, the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat displayed absolute submission and obedience and accepted the institution of Khilafat. Every single Ahmadi living anywhere in the world, whichever country or nation he originates from, understands and comprehends fully and thoroughly that to link and connect with the Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood, Khilafat ala minhajun nubuwwat, that was destined to appear, is his greatest and biggest responsibility and obligation. I am not referring to the group of people who separated from the Jamaat at the very outset and who are insignificant. Here, the majority of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, who understand the true rank and status of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, are being referred to, and they hold the understanding and insight into the fact that the real reality and truth is in remaining attached firmly with the system of Khilafat. The identity and unity of the Jamaat rests in this. The progress and success of the community is interlinked with this. The strength to rebut the attacks and allegations of the detractors and enemies of the Islam is also mustered through being bonded with Khilafat. For in accordance with the promises of Allah the Almighty, the help and succor of Allah the Almighty, now in this phase of the revival of Islam, is interwoven with the institution of Khilafat. However, it should also be borne in mind that to merely verbally profess one's belief and faith does not enable one to absorb the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Indeed, in Ayat-e-Istikhlaf, where Allah the Almighty has given the Mu'mins, the believers, the promise of Khilafat, and has imparted the glad tiding of transforming the state of fear into peace and security, where He has proclaimed giving strength and glory to those who attach themselves with Khilafat. There also, only such people have been deemed to receive this blessing and reward who give heed towards their worship and prayers. These are such people who make sacrifices for the purpose of establishing the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah the Almighty, in the entire world. There are many a people who will profess La ilaha illallah, the Muslim creed. I have explained this previously. However, one who truly says La ilaha illallah is only he who in every single circumstance only turns and looks towards God. He never relies on anyone other than Allah the Almighty. And so every Khilafat Day that we celebrate should turn our attention towards the standard of our worship, of our prayer, of remaining established upon Tawheed, and on conveying and spreading the message of Tawheed, the unity of Allah the Almighty, all increasing and enhancing. If this is not the case, If our standards of our relationship and connection with Allah the Almighty are not strengthening to a greater degree than before, then the jalsas, the speeches, the scholarly and academic discussions and celebrations would be all entirely worthless. So thus, there is a need to understand this underlying spirit. When we give due heed towards prayers, when we focus properly upon understanding Tawheed, the oneness of Allah the Almighty, then every single one of us will become the recipients of the blessings of Allah the Almighty, which Allah promised the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. In the last week's Friday sermon, I elucidated that whenever one is worried, concerned, or facing any difficulty or problem, we should submit to Allah the Almighty. We absolutely do not rely on the worldly way of protests, but remaining firmly attached with the institution of Khilafat, to absorb the blessings of Allah the Almighty, to gain deliverance from your concerns, worries and problems, and to enter into a state of peace and security. As I have already mentioned, Allah the Almighty has drawn our attention towards prayer and worship. So therefore, these are our real weapons, which we can have absolute, complete and permanent confidence, trust and reliance in. If we leave aside the weapon of prayers and instead adopt the insignificant, trivial and temporary weapons, we will not gain success and triumph. Nobody has ever obtained success through insignificant and temporary weapons. In the history of the prophets, we see that they obtained successes and triumph through prayers alone. Casting a glance particularly over the history of Islam and the era of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the Khilafat-i-Rashida, the rightly guided Khilafat, we see that it was not through worldly strength or power, but rather purely through the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty, did they gain victory and successes. It was in accordance with the promises of Allah the Almighty that they gained victory and triumph. However, it needs to be also borne in mind that despite all the promises, in order to obtain these victories and triumphs, we have to give sacrifices of life, and we also need to elevate the standard of our worship. I should mention here in this connection that in last week's Friday sermon, I referred to an Ahmadi who wrote to me and spoke of one of his Shia friends. His Shia friend alleged that we do not respond or react in the right way. I mentioned that I thought that the Ahmadi shared the view of his Shia friend, that we should give more attention towards worldly means and efforts. I did not name the Ahmadi, but after he wrote to me that although he had mentioned his Shia friend, he himself did not subscribe to his Shia friend's views. But nonetheless, from various sources, I often receive reports of this type where people express views to this effect. This is why we need to remember that the rewards of Allah the Almighty will only be received through prayers. Drawing attention towards this, Allah the Almighty says, فَسَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْهَرْ. So pray to thy Lord and offer sacrifice. It is then that your worship and your sacrifice will make you the recipient of Allah the Almighty's blessings and rewards. Undeniably, it is human nature that as the period of trial, tribulation, difficulties and hardships prolong, a person becomes concerned, perturbed and anxious. As I mentioned in the last week's Friday sermon, that when facing such a predicament, the messengers and the mu'mineen, the believers, cry out, Mata Nasrullah, that when will come the help of Allah? In anguish and in anxiety, they make this proclamation. They do not do so out of despair, but rather they do so in order to incite the mercy of Allah the Almighty and to acquire His blessings and bounties. They throw themselves entirely and utterly into the lap of God the Supreme and take their prayers to the pinnacle standards. They establish the best examples of sacrifice, and subsequently this is what they proclaim. It is then that Allah the Almighty responds with the call, Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb, that ye, surely the help of Allah is nigh. This is precisely what Allah the Almighty said to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. At different times, the promised Messiah witnessed the manifestation of divine support, and this is what was said to him by way of revelation. He witnessed the practical testimony of Allah the Almighty to this. So indeed, the promised Messiah alayhi salam witnessed this, but we also observe Allah the Almighty's help and succor descending. We will, inshallah, God willing, continue to witness this. There are different spheres and circles of Allah the Almighty's help and support which He bestows and confers. Furthermore, inshallah, God willing, we will witness in the form of Allah the Almighty's help and support the ultimate glorious victory and glory. The schemes of the enemy are extremely treacherous. If we assess them from a worldly perspective, then a perilous and harrowing situation emerges before us. This is particularly true in the Muslim countries and in Pakistan especially. However, Allah the Almighty is the possessor of all powers. He is a khairul makirin. He is the best of planners. Allah the Almighty has the power and might to utterly annihilate all the ploys of the enemies. Inshallah, God willing, all the designs of the enemies will be thrown back upon them. We, however, need to give immense attention and heed towards prayers and to istighfar to alleviate ourselves of our anxieties and concerns, and in order to be able to adequately deal with the forthcoming victory and triumph, we need prayers. This is why Allah the Almighty has said, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. That glorify thy Lord with his praise and seek forgiveness of him. So therefore, we all need to understand this subject. We need to enhance our prayers to the pinnacle standards. I have previously drawn attention towards this, that to a significant degree, we understand the subject of sacrifice. However, there is also a vital need for us to understand the subject of prayer. If we desire to rapidly obtain the fruits of sacrifices, then it is greatly essential that we enhance the standard of our prayers and supplications. We need to form that state within us that Allah the Almighty desires. Allah the Almighty states, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُسْتَرَّ إِذَا دُعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلَكُمُ الْخُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَاهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Or, who answers the distressed person when he calls upon him, and removes the evil, and makes you successors in the earth?
خدا سے مانگ دعا کرتا ہے اور اس کی تکلیف کو دور کر دیتا ہے.
Is there a God besides Allah? Little is it that you reflect. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, "Remember, God Almighty is without any need whatsoever. Unless you pray abundantly, immersing yourself in a state of desperation and distress, He does not pay heed. Observe how when someone's wife and child become ill, or he faces a harrowing court case, he succumbs to deep distress and anguish. So thus, it is essential that unless the prayer is made with great distress and agony, the prayer would be completely useless. The condition for the acceptance of prayer is that it should be made in a state of distress and anguish. As is said, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُسْتَرَّ إِذَا دُعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. So thus, we need to give attention towards our prayer and worship to a greater degree than before. We need to develop distress and anguish into our supplications, and we need to incite the mercy of Allah the Almighty. At this time, I will draw attention towards certain prayers. Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III reminded towards these prayers on the Jubilee of the Jamaat. I later also reminded towards these prayers upon the Khilafat Jubilee. You should never forget these prayers, nor slacken in reciting them. Indeed, you must increase saying these prayers and make them a permanent part and parcel of your lives. Furthermore, you need to beautify and enhance your prayers and strive to do justice to them. Only then can we fulfill the rite of prayers. These prayers are repeatedly shown on MTA, but nonetheless I should mention them by way of reminder. First of all, there is Surah Fatiha, which should be recited abundantly. Then there is a Durood Sharif, which we recite in the prayer, which you should constantly recite. There were prayers that were revealed to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin. This should also be recited profusely. A hadith mentions, which has been narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said there are two statements or expressions which are very easy on the tongue, but they hold great weight and are greatly loved by the gracious God. They are, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim. So thus here it has been said that these are very dear to the gracious God. So in order to invoke the mercy of Allah the Almighty, these prayers are extremely essential. Then there was another prayer which should also be constantly recited. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. That our Lord, let not our hearts get perverse after Thou hast guided us, and bestow on us mercy from Thyself. Surely Thou alone art the bestower. After the demise of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, Hazrat Nawab Mubarika Begum Sahiba saw a dream. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was inculcating her greatly to recite this prayer of Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. When she related this dream to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, he said that I will never stop reciting this. I will recite this most abundantly. And he said, where on the one hand there is a plea to Allah the Almighty for one's faith to be strengthened, there on the other hand, this is also a great prayer to remain attached to the system of Khilafat. There was another prayer which you need to give great heed towards. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. That, O our Lord, pour forth steadfastness upon us, and make our steps firm, and help us against the disbelieving people. Then there is the prayer, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nahurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. A tradition relates that when the Holy Prophet ﷺ felt that there was danger from any tribe or people, he would recite this prayer, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nahurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. That, O Allah, we make you a shield against enemies and we take refuge in you from their evils. The literal translation of Allahumma inna naj'aluka, that, O Allah, we place you in the chests of the enemies, is not initially clear, and one does not understand what this actually means. By giving the lexiconical meanings of Nahr, this will perhaps become clear. A Nahr is the upper part of the chest, or the joint between the chest and the neck, in particular, the upper section of the windpipe. So what this would mean is that, O Allah, you alone can attack the enemies in a way which would end their life, and we should be safe from their evil designs. You alone can shatter the might of these mischief makers, these disorderly people, and these cruel and oppressive persons. So therefore, eliminate these people and grant us refuge from their ploys and schemes. You should also say istighfar. As I said, Allah the Almighty says, say istighfar abundantly. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli zambin wa atubu ilayh is the prayer. Furthermore, a while ago, based on a dream, I said the following prayer should be recited. Rabbi kullu shay'in khadumuka Rabbi fafazni wa ansurni warhamni. This prayer should be recited most profusely. Then also include this prayer in the prayers that you supplicate, which I mentioned in the previous week's Friday sermon. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. That our Lord forgive us our errors and our excesses in our conduct, and make firm our steps and help us against the disbelieving people. In addition, there is a prayer that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was taught by way of revelation. There is a critical need to recite this prayer because the enemies are at the height of the evil designs. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, I was praying for the members of my Jamaat and then for Qadian when the revelation came to me. Zindagi ke fashion se dur ja pade hain. They have drawn away from the fashion of life. Then, Fasahikum Tasika, that then grind them down a fine grinding. The Promised Messiah said, I wondered why the act of grinding has been attributed to me. Then I looked at the prayer, which is written on the wall of Betul Dua, the chamber of prayer, which is as follows. Ya Rabbi Fasma Du'ai, wa Mazik A'da'aka wa A'da'i, wa Anjiz Wa'daka, wa Ansur Abdaka, wa Arina Ayyamaka, wa Shahir Lana Husamaka, wa La Tazar Min Al Kafirina Sharira. That, O my Lord, hear my prayer and crush your enemies and my enemies, and fulfill your promise and help your servant, and show us your days and sharpen for us your sword, and spare not a single mischief maker out of the disbelievers. So thus these are the prayers which we need to pay great heed towards. Now after this, today I will mention an extremely dear, sincere, loyal, one who benefited others and the possessor of many qualities and characteristics. His name was Dr. Mehdi Ali Kamar, son of Chaudhary Farzand Ali Sahib. I will pay tribute to him. He was martyred on 26th May in Rabwa. The account of his martyrdom was as follows. Two unknown assailants on a motorbike at approximately 5 in the morning when he was going to visit Beheshti Maqbara, which is near Darul Fazl. There they shot at him and martyred him as a result. It is reported that Dr. Mehdi Ali Kamar Sahib was a cardiologist. 2 days ago, with his wife and child, came from America to serve as Waqf-e Arzi in the Tahir Heart Institute in Rabwa. Dr. Sahib lived in the USA. On 26 May 2014, in the morning after Fajr, he was with his wife, young son, and also a female relative of the wife, where they were going for prayer to Beheshti Maqbara. They reached a gate on the unpaved street just before the Beheshti Maqbara. Two people came upon a motorbike who started shooting at Dr. Sahib. They then fled away on the main road after shooting at him. 11 bullets were fired at him. As a result, he was martyred on the spot. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The family of Dr. Sahib originated from the district of Faisalabad. Ahmadiyyat started from his family through his father, Chaudhary Farzand Ali Sahib. He took the bet in his youth of Hazrat Khalif Tomasi II, may Allah please with him, and entered into Ahmadiyyat. After the bet of Chaudhary Farzand Ali Sahib, his brother, Mukarram Chaudhary Aladitta Sahib, also took the bet. The family then migrated to Rabwa. The maternal grandfather of Dr. Sahib, Master Ziauddin Sahib, was the first martyr of Rabwa, who was martyred during the shooting at the Sargodha station in 1974. At the time, Master Ziauddin Sahib was the president of the Darul Barakat Jamaat in Rabwa and was also a teacher in Talimul Islam school. Dr. Sahib Shaheed was born on 23rd December 1963 in Rabwa. On the day of Dr. Sahib's birth, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Qamar al-Anbiya passed away. As a result, Dr. Sahib's father placed Qamar along with his name. Then the maternal grandfather Shaheed of Dr. Sahib placed the part of second Khalifa's name, Bashiruddin, with Dr. Sahib's name. So thus, Dr. Sahib's full name was Mehdi Ali Bashiruddin Qamar. This name was recorded and used everywhere. Dr. Sahib Shaheed obtained his elementary education at Talimul Islam School and College, Rabwa. He was an extremely wise, intelligent and promising student, he would be counted as. He then acquired education in Punjab Medical College, Faisalabad. During the course of his education there, he faced a lot of opposition from the students as a result of being an Ahmadi. They burnt his possessions and his books. As a result, he had to go back to Rabwa for some time. When the circumstances improved, he returned and continued his education. He successfully completed his MBBS examinations. From 1989 to 1991, he served at Fazl-e-Umar Hospital, Rabwa. Then he migrated to Canada with his mother. In Canada, he completed his medical examinations and then carried out a house job. He then went to Brooklyn University in New York. There, he specialized in cardiology. After completing his education, he moved to Columbus, Ohio, in the United States, to start his job. He permanently settled in Columbus, Ohio. After the establishment of Tahir Heart Institute, when I appealed to the doctors, he also would travel there for Waqf-e Arzi. He had gone there twice before this time. This was his third visit for Waqf-e Arzi. He served in different capacities in the Jamaat. He was an extremely kind, soft-hearted, gentle, and compassionate person. He would show sympathy, compassion, and share in everyone's pains and afflictions. He would never fight, quarrel, or cause pain or suffering to anyone. The wife of Dr. Sahib has said that he would always be extremely kind and caring towards me. He would always overlook my mistakes and would never let me be troubled or pained in any way. He was an extremely loving father for the children, and he would always be very mindful of their education and good upbringing. He was an extremely compromising, amenable, and humble person. Whenever I was angry, he would say not to be angered. He was full of humility. He would always greatly care of his in-laws. One of his in-laws said that for 5 years, I went to the United States and lived with them. He never raised his voice towards me and always treated me like his mother, with respect. Hospitality was a great quality found in him. During the occasions of Jamaat functions, he would always arrange for Jamaat guests to stay at his house. He would also carry out the duty of bringing guests to and fro from the airport. He would help poor and underprivileged people with great abundance. Apart from his field of work, the deceased also had a literary and artistic taste. He was a good poet, and his collection is in the stages of publication with the name of Barg-e-Khayal. He was also a good calligraphist. He had an extremely close, dedicated, and sincere connection with Khilafat. He would always hearken immediately to any call from the Khalifa. He would give janda most abundantly. In the construction of the Columbus Mosque, he presented a very large sum by way of donation. He also carried out work to help decorate the mosque. He also gave a large sum by way of donation for the mosque to be built in his home area, Darul Rahmat Garbi in Rabwa. He also remained at the forefront of contributing towards Tahir Heart Institute. He had huge passion and zeal for Dawat Allah and preaching, and with the grace of Allah, he was well versed in religious matters. He was active in rebutting the allegations of the opponents on YouTube and other modes. He leaves behind his wife, Majida Mahdi Sahiba, and 3 sons, Abdullah Ali, 15 years old, Hashim Ali, 7 years old, and Ashar Ali, who was 3 years old. The younger son was with him at the time of the shooting. I spoke about Dr. Sahib's poetry. I should cite, by way of example, that on 28th March 2014, he wrote his last poem. Some of the couplets are, "We shall exchange face to face with death, words on how life is attained. No Yazid shall be able to erase for truthful are the words of the son of Batul. Everything will perish and only will remain the words of God and his messenger." A couplet from one of his old poems reads, "This alone is my wish, Allah, in your way, if only my blood would avail." Then one of his poems written at Nuri Istikhlaf reads, "The grace of truth has thus given me the drink of life, that it bonded my way of life with Khilafat. While the sun and the moon admire the light of Istikhlaf, dismal gloom has fallen over disciples of Iblis." Dr. Sahib was the younger brother of Hadi Ali Sahib, our missionary who lived here for a long period of time in the UK. Just as Hadi Ali Sahib was calligraphy, Dr. Sahib also had a great enthusiasm and keen interest in calligraphy. Hadi Ali Sahib writes that our brother was a very extraordinary person. His passing was an extremely big loss and tragedy for our entire family, but with the grace of God the Almighty, Allah, the family submits to the will of God and remains steadfast and patient. Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib's email signature used to have epithets like "Qulu linnasi husna," that say to people what is good. His sister writes that Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib, holy, beautiful, and solemn personality from childhood, he would always refrain from vain things. He would perform the prayer with great enthusiasm, and he was an active member of the auxiliary organizations from his youth. As a tifl, as a child, he was part of the Salli Allah team to wake up people for Fajr. From the childhood, he was interested in study and research, and from a very young age, he started reading the Jamaat literature and books. He he would often take benefit of the elders and holy personages in his neighborhood and go to visit them. Maulvi Abdul Latif Sahib, Bahagalpuri, Sufi Bisharatur Rahman Sahib, Mulana Abdul Attar Sahib, and also others. He had a great love for Rabwa. It remained in his heart all his life, and he eventually gave his blood for the land of Rabwa. He became a doctor because of the wish of his parents, and he was an extremely highly placed doctor. He was no ordinary doctor. He was well disciplined, he never wasted his time, he always was in search of knowledge. He carried out excellent upbringing of his children. Despite being extremely busy, he would take out time for his wife and children, and he would teach the Holy Quran to his children himself. Sometimes here people say they do not have time to do this. He was an extremely very well-read person and good poet, as I have said. He would always be forgiving in nature towards others and would bear pain and suffering himself. When asked, he would say that he always did this purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty. One of his friends, Dr. Mahmood, said that we were roommates in the medical college. There I had the opportunity to observe him. He was very regular in prayers and in fasting. He was senior to me, but he always guided me very gently whenever I did anything wrong. His passion to serve mankind always remained predominant. The first Bud Blank of Rabwa was started and initiated by Dr. Mehdi Ali Qamar and Dr. Sultan Mahmood Mubashir. But Dr. Mehdi Ali Qamar made a greater effort. This blood bank, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, is doing an excellent service to provide blood to people in need in the surrounding areas. Dr. Naseem Rahmatullah Sahib writes, "The Shaheed was a person of great humbleness and humility. He always was cheerful and had a smile on his face. Hazur says that very recently he came and met me here. Since hearing about his martyrdom, that smiling countenance always comes in view. It was an extremely peaceful countenance, and at the time of his martyrdom, as some people have wrote, that they have seen his picture. His chest is full of blood, but it seems like he is asleep in great peace and tranquility." Abdul Salam Malik Sahib, the Sadr, the President of the Columbus Jamaat, writes that Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib arrived in our Jamaat 10 years ago. From the very beginning, he has been a very active member of a local Amla. He had a great sense of obedience of the Jamaat. He would never argue with anyone, but in fact, he would accept everything very cheerfully. He never declined to carry out any task. Whenever any responsibility was entrusted to him, he always discharged it excellently. He had huge and immense devotion with Khilafat. When in 2012 I went on my tour of the USA and visited Columbus, then he spent the entire night to decorate and do calligraphy on the mosque and placed many banners. His brother, Hadi Sahib, was also with him. After spending the entire night working on the mosque, in the morning he went to serve in his duty as a doctor. Furthermore, he would burden the expenses for the decorations of the mosque that he would place. When he would work in the mosque, no one would imagine that he is a doctor, because with great simplicity he would carry out his service. He always remained at the very forefront of financial sacrifices and contributions. A doctor friend says that I also had the opportunity to work with Dr. Sahib. Many a times people would become jealous seeing his success in his field. He always faced such problems and difficulties cheerfully. I have never seen him angry. I always found him cheerful and smiling. He would always say, "What is the need to become worried? We have the prayers of the Khalifa of the time with us. There is no need to be concerned." As I have said, he came here in the UK, he stayed for a very short while, and he left extremely happy, telling his friends that he had met the Khalifa of the time and spoke about what the meeting entailed. Somebody writes that one thing that was also written on his email signature is that you need to reform yourself in the way that you want others to reform. He was a living example and testimony to this. Dr. Nuri Sahib of Tahir Heart Institute of Rabwa writes, Dr. Sahib was extremely popular amongst the patients. The underprivileged and the poor came to him for treatment with great eagerness. With personal care and interest and attention, he would treat the patients. He was an extremely simple person by disposition. He would dress so simply that it was difficult to distinguish him amongst the patients. He would volunteer himself for services to Tahir Heart Institute most freely. He was extremely resolute and determined, and he would selflessly work here for the Tahir Heart Institute. And this shows his deep commitment towards his profession. He was an extremely humble person and had astonishingly good memory. Alongside knowledge of the Holy Quran and the books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, he also had keen interest in poetry and calligraphy. Mubarak Siddiqui Sahib from here was his class fellow. He says, Mehdi Ali Sahib had the qualities of a true believer from childhood and was an excellent person. He was a devoted servant of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat and was greatly devoted to Khilafat. Despite being greatly ahead of us in the academic and financial standing, he was an extremely humble and forbearing person by disposition. Sometimes during the school era, I did not have all the course books. He would say to me that as I had read the book for half the day, you could read it for the rest of the day, so much so that at times he would even lend me the book right before the exam and say you can read it for the rest of the day. Despite this, he would more or less always attain the first ranked position. When he recently came to London, I said to him that you have become a senior and major surgeon in the USA. Let us go to a very good restaurant. He said, I'm that same humble person. We can go to any simple restaurant. We can eat there. I never heard him say anything untoward or uncivilized. He had a great respect for the Nizami Jamaat. No one could dare to say anything negative in his presence about even the most smallest office holder. He was an exemplary Ahmadi, and he would help his friends financially who were poor. But when he would help such people, he would do so in a way that nobody else would ever come to know of it. One of his friends writes that Dr. Mehdi Sahib's voice was very melodious. He participated in tilawat and speech recitation competitions from an early age, and he always achieved good positions. He often recited poetic verses of Hazrat Muslim Maud, which the friend says always resonate since his martyrdom. The couplet is, forever they have schemed to destroy the garden of Ahmed, but the Lord's concealed design waits in their way. Why would the true believer look for a killer? His eyes are lightning and his sighs are like swords. O oppressor, your sins will be your downfall. They shall ensnare your feet like fetters. Dr. Sultan Mubashir Sahib writes, Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib is extremely caring towards the poor. Last year when he came here, he opened a bank account and he said that I've deposited money here, use it to help the poor and those in need. One day I received a telephone call. He said there is a former worker of the Jamaat who is in need of money. He is building a house. Give him 100,000 rupees. He also said he would fund the expenses for any African who wanted to study in the medical college. One of his friends, Hafiz Abdul Quddus, says that Dr. Mehdi Sahib was working in Fazl Umar Hospital when he came to see him in his home, and tells him that a homeless patient in the hospital was in need of one bottle of blood. He said that he had given one bottle of blood and wanted his friend to give another bottle. Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib used to send various tools and instruments, such as stunts, for the operations to be conducted. He would say that I'm extremely proud to serve this hospital. He also wished to build a house in Rabwa so that he would not be a burden on Jamaat accommodation. He was content about the upbringing of his children despite the fact that they were living in the USA. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, he would give them good moral upbringing and give them personal attention. One of his friends says that we had a great loving relationship like brothers. When he arrived in Rabwa this time on a Saturday, it was 10 p.m. and he asked me to come over. I asked him to rest, but he insisted that I go to visit him. Most lovingly, he gave me an up-to-date stethoscope as a gift, which he specially brought with him. He asked me about the prayers and the direction of the Qibla. He says we met at night and talked till 11:15. And then I left. I said goodbye and took leave. A few hours later, in the early morning, is when he went to Beheshti Maqbara and was martyred. The website of the newspaper Dawn commented on the martyrdom of Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib. They gave the background of the opposition against the Apni Muslim Jamaat in the following words. Dr. Mehdi Ali Qamar was no ordinary doctor. While he held the Young Investigator Award by the American College of Cardiology and was identified among America's top physicians for the year 2003-2004 and America's top cardiologist for three consecutive years from 2005 to 2007 and then for four consecutive years from 2009 to 2012. He also held the Physician Recognition Award by the American Medical Association. Then they write that his big spectacled bright face smiled next to his profile that read, I believe in delivering the best possible patient care, maintaining the highest professional standards, contributing to the progress of the institutions I am affiliated with. My first priority is to deliver my professional responsibilities with competency, honesty, and integrity. And with competence, honesty, and integrity, he did. Then, finally, the writer said, I am sorry, Dr. Qamar Ali Mehdi, I failed to protect you and save you, but I raise my voice against this persecution. I forgo my safety and protection just so that tomorrow I don't die unheard. Newspapers from around the world, Pakistan, USA, Canada, Britain, all reported on this barbaric and inhuman killing of Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib. Up to now, more than 30 newspapers have reported this news. These include National Post Canada, The Star Canada, CBC News Canada, Global News, CNN, USA Today, New York Times, Washington Post, Columbus Dispatch, Wall Street Journal, and this is a very famous newspaper, then the Express Tribune, Washington Times, The Strategic Intelligence, Daily Mail, BBC Urdu, Al Jazeera, Dawn, etc. While all these newspapers have condemned the barbaric killing of Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib, they have also introduced the Jamaat and given details of our persecution of the past few decades. By way of introduction, these newspapers have mentioned the claim of the promised Messiah والسلام, have given his name, his claim to prophethood. There also, they have mentioned that the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is a peaceful community which condemns the killing of innocent lives in the name of jihad. Some newspapers have also praised the charitable and social welfare work of the Jamaat. So thus Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib, by giving up his life, has opened up new lives of tabligh and the Jamaat is being introduced. Wall Street Journal, which is a world-famous newspaper published in the USA and in many places. has covered the news of the martyrdom by introducing the Jamaat and citing his persecution, and has then quoted the chairperson of the Human Rights Commission of Pakistan. Every religious minority in Pakistan is persecuted, but the Ahmadiyya community faces the worst treatment. Several local language newspapers publish anti-Ahmadi material, but there is no action against them. If the Christian community comes under attack, you'll see the Prime Minister issuing a statement of condemnation, officials visiting the victims. But that is not the case with the Ahmadiyya community. There is no one standing by them. Azru says, Inshallah, it is God Almighty who will stand for the Ahmadis, and He will continue to stand by us in the future also. The newspaper has also quoted a colleague of Dr. Mahdi Ali, Shantani Sinha. The interview of Dr. Sinha says, I have never seen a more honest, well-mannered, and person of good etiquette in my entire life. There was not a single trace of mischief in him. He was a person who greatly served humanity. Although he knew that such an incident could have happened with him, but despite this, for the sake of serving humanity, he went to Pakistan. I only hope that it will probably help raise awareness about the senseless killing of an extremely good-natured and highly moral person who had gone to serve humanity. Then the newspaper finally quotes the police inspector, and it's something extremely heartless which it entails. One police official has reported to be said, we often see such pamphlets and posters that say it is against Islam to be treated at this hospital that is in Rabwah because it is run by Ahmadis. Indeed, perhaps this killing is related to this. An Al Jazeera reported also said, that we often receive reports of persecution and cruelty against Ahmadis. And this cruelty is carried out with the knowledge that the government and law will do nothing to punish them. The Washington Post similarly reported the news that these crimes are taking place because they know that there will be no action taken against them. The Lancaster Gazette is a local newspaper of the area where Dr. Mehdi lived. It's covered his martyrdom in a detailed piece with comments of his colleagues who worked with him. Kelly Morrison, he's a manager or the business development manager of the cardiovascular unit. He said, this is an extremely sad time. Everyone is in tears here at the hospital. Then this same newspaper mentions that deceased was a founding physician member of the Gordon B. Snyder Cardiovascular Institute at FMC in 2011 and was honored as a legendary philanthropist by the Medical Center in 2013. In further coverage, they said that the death has not only affected the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, but to all members of the local community. Dr. Sayyid's patients are also paying tribute to him in various newspapers. The Columbus Dispatch, in coverage of the news, interviewed Dr. Mehdi Ali Saab's elder son. They said when 16-year-old Abdullah Ali was asked, how does he feel to his father being killed in this manner? He responded, I am disappointed. Paying tribute to this response, they particularly mentioned that there is no anger or vengeance in the heart of this child. Fox 28 Columbus also reported on the martyrdom and interviewed Dr. Mehdi Ali Saab's elder son, Abdullah Ali, in which he said that his father was a great person. He said, I am sure that if the murderers had stopped for a moment to speak to him, he would also have brought about a positive change in their lives. The killers only did this to harm a Jamaat about which I am certain they have no knowledge of. This indeed is the truth. Maulvis have poisoned people against us. Those people are ignorant of what we believe in. BBC Urdu also covered the martyrdom and mentioned the Ahmadiyya persecution. They published the image of the pamphlet against us regarding Tahir Institute. The pamphlet said that to have treatment in Tahir Institute was forbidden and a major and grievous sin. Anyone who has any connection with the Ahmadiyya becomes an infidel. Hazrat says, Inna Lillah. Nonetheless, this martyr witnesses great successes in his life. And he spent it serving God's creation. He met also such a death which will grant him an everlasting and eternal life with Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty give this dear and beloved brothers of ours a lofty station in paradise. May his status and rank ever be elevated. May he be granted a place amongst God's beloveds. May Allah the Almighty keep his wife and children in his protection and refuge. May all the pious wishes and prayers of Dr. Mehdi Ali Sahib Shaheed for his children be fulfilled. As I mentioned earlier, our progress, and in order to overcome the enemy, our greatest weapon is prayer. However, Allah the Almighty has also drawn attention towards certain apparent ways and means, and we should use them to the maximum degree possible. Therefore, after this incident, the administration of Rabbani need to become ever more vigilant and alert. Maximize and take your plans and resources to the greatest degree possible, and then leave the matter in the hands of God. Every citizen of Rabwah furthermore needs to be ever vigilant and alert. This dear and beloved martyr spilled his blood on the land of Rabwah. By doing so, he has drawn our attention towards prayer and towards planning. So therefore, there is a need to give great attention towards this. Ahmadis all over the world should especially pray greatly for Pakistani Ahmadis, because they are now living in extremely intolerable conditions, and the situation is continuing to worsen all the time. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so. Now the entire country has become a tale or account of cruelty and oppression. Just a few days ago, a woman was stoned to death outside the High Court. Murder and mayhem takes place on a daily basis, and we cannot even say that this is because they have martyred an Ahmadi. When this martyrdom, this oppression took place, certainly police officials would have been present and it would have happened in front of them. This oppression in Pakistan is taking place upon everyone. Is in the name of Allah and His Messenger. In the name of that Messenger who was a Muhsin-e Insaniyat, the benefactor of all mankind. In the name of that Messenger who was a Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy for all mankind. So therefore, our hearts bleed and are torn apart by this fact, that if they have to perpetrate oppression and cruelty, at least they should not do so in the name of God and His Messenger. They should not commit persecution and wrongdoing in the name of that benefactor of humanity and mercy for all the world. They should not defame Islam, but they do not understand this, and they do not know in which direction they are hurtling towards. When God's decree will come to pass, and inshallah it will certainly come to pass, there will be no trace left of them at all. Nothing will remain of the oppressors, nor of those who support them. Thus, we need to pray, and we need to pray most abundantly. May Allah the Almighty enable for the people to be freed from the clutches of the Muslim clergy. May they come to understand the truth and accept the Imam of the time. After their Friday prayers, inshallah, God willing, I will also lead the funeral prayer in absentia of the Shaheed, the martyred.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر